From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're taking a listen back to some of the most meaningful conversations this year. Just before the start of the new year, the U.S. Surgeon General issued an advisory addressing the mental health crisis among America's youth. In Sacramento County, the Office of Education launched an initiative that they say isn't really being done elsewhere in the state, binding together healthcare and schools and placing a mental health clinician across the county's more than 300 campuses. Back in January, I spoke with Dave Gordon, the Sacramento County Superintendent of Schools, and Dr. Christopher Williams, who's the Director of School-Based Mental Health and Wellness, about the launch and how they secured ongoing funding to ensure it sticks around. Superintendent Gordon, in June of 2020, Sacramento County Office of Education, or SCOE for short, announced an initiative to make schools centers of wellness, to place mental health clinicians in every school in the county over the next several years. Let's just start off with the backstory. Where did this vision begin?
This has been a dream of ours for many years. We have always lacked consistent mental health support and services in our schools. Three-year grants came and went. The inadequate staffing that schools were able to muster without funding sources always kept us from having the kind of social-emotional supports for young people that would prevent the kinds of tragedies like suicides and other things that needed to be treated. So our dream over the years was to figure out a way to put sustainable mental health supports in partnership with the medical system into our schools, and with the collaboration, and I give a big shout out to County Mental Health and the County Health Department to join with us to create a system by which we could put clinicians in the schools and reimburse the services of the clinicians through the regular medical system, meaning Medi-Cal for those that were eligible for that, and ultimately we'll be looking at the private medical plans as well. Now, the second goal, though, was really to help turn the schools into what we call centers of wellness, because everybody is familiar with treatment, but we shouldn't be focused on treatment. We should be focused on prevention, and we should be focused on every person in the school building having a feel for how can we best meet the mental health needs of young people up front, not after they're already suffering.
Why are Medi-Cal reimbursements better than grants?
Well, Medi-Cal reimbursements are sustainable over time. In other words, that's part of what your medical plan should provide, support for young people. And the young people shouldn't have to go down to an appointment somewhere if that's not the best way to serve them. And the school is a great partner because families trust the schools are in their neighborhoods. So I think it's a win-win on all sides.
Yeah. When it comes to the challenges, was it easy to get Medi-Cal reimbursements? And really, how many students and families does this cover in the county, in Sacramento County?
Well, about 60-something percent of families are on Medi-Cal in the county. So that's a large number of our families in the schools. We have 245,000 students or so in the county. And the health plans, it is not easy to generate the reimbursement.
So essentially this ultimate goal, if you're in the Medi-Cal system, which is roughly 60% of students in the county, you get a referral for your child to go to a clinician or a therapist, but there will actually be one at the school as opposed to traveling to a provider. So essentially removing barriers.
Right. But also we're injecting into the school the work and the wisdom of a professional in the social work and counseling field who's connected to the medical system. So we're binding the interests of the two parties together, which we probably should have been doing all along. But I think the value of that partnership will grow as this program rolls forward. And like I said, we will also be working to involve the private health plans in this as well.
You launched this in the first year of the pandemic, June of 2020. How many schools now have clinicians?
We have clinicians in around 20 schools throughout the county. And people ask me, well, there's 300 odd schools. And how are you going to get to 300 odd schools? And my answer is, well, one at a time. And I think the value of the program will speak for itself over time. And again, I really give a shout out to Chris and these pioneer clinicians who are doing a marvelous job basically inventing this program as they fly the plane.
Dr. Christopher Williams, this is where you come in, helping chip away at this. You're the Director of Mental Health and Wellness at SCOE. Share a little of your background and what brought you here.
Sure. So I'm from the East Coast. I lived in New York City for a little over 20 years. I'm a social worker. I'm an educator. Served as a school social worker in a couple schools in the Bronx in New York. Helped to develop a mentoring program back in New York City as an intervention for chronically absent students, which led to a citywide campaign. They call it Success Mentors, mentoring as an intervention for chronically absent students. Understanding, of course, that chronic absenteeism is really a symptom, right? The chronic absenteeism is not the problem to solve. And we discovered this along our journey, that chronic absenteeism is a symptom of other concerns that students and families are experiencing. I ultimately led a nonprofit back there in New York City, providing mental health, school-based mental health services. Fortunate enough to have come out here and landed at SCOE at a time, under Superintendent Gordon's leadership and the vision of this program. Really excited to be leading it. But I think that experience is important in the sense that student behaviors are really indicators of what's happening. And so how do we create interventions that, as Superintendent Gordon mentioned, is treatment for young people who are experiencing mental illness or mental disorders, but also getting a little bit further upstream to think about how can we co-create experiences between the adults and the kids that mitigate that trauma, so that we are helping as schools as centers of wellness is really intended not as just to provide treatment, but to create experiences where young people are on a healthy developmental trajectory and that the adults in schools can really support that.
Well, in talking about this intersection and making schools as centers of wellness, that also means changing the conversation surrounding mental health and also the role of schools and community. How do you teach that to adults working at schools?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. We have a paradigm. We are continuing to develop and evolve that paradigm, but we also have to be responsive of the communities that we serve, right? Galt and River Delta are not the same as Sac City or San Juan. And we have to understand the communities that we are serving. But the way we teach it, I think it was Daniel Goleman who talked about how we teach empathy is by developing self-awareness, right? If we say empathy is identifying in somebody else, then building self-awareness is I can identify more things about myself and therefore identify more things about others. And so to teach this, we have to really begin with the adults. What were your experiences when you were in school? Who were adults who really developed great relationships with you? How are you channeling those experiences when you come into your schools? How can you, develop a reflective practice of your own, whether that's mindfulness, whether it's exercise, whether it's building relationships with other adults, but how can you build an awareness of yourself and awareness of your role as what Dr. Jack Shonkoff calls a protective adult relationship? And how do you develop those protective adult relationships with the young people you serve? Hmm.
Given that Sacramento County has brought on 20 clinicians at schools across the county out of, some 300 schools, what were you looking for when hiring those 20 clinicians?
I've been asked this question a couple of times, and the first thing that comes to mind is people who have that entrepreneurial spirit, people who are willing to sit in the unknown, people who are willing to take risks for trial and error. There's almost like a sense of you have to be willing to fail. You have to be willing to try things, understand that it didn't work, and then try something new the next day. And the folks that we've hired, I've said this a couple of times, if I did anything right last year, it was hiring the right people. We have a group of clinicians who excel not only at their clinical skills, but at their ability to develop relationships with the adults, to really understand systems and the systems of the schools and the systems of the communities in which they serve, and how to really intervene at the systems level, as well as at that individual level.
I go back to when you were talking about chronic absenteeism as a symptom. How does this change understanding when to discipline and how to discipline a student?
No easy answers, right? Your questions are really spot on, and we have to develop these answers in partnership, I think. One of the critical components of this program, in addition to having clinicians on school sites, is we're developing what we call coordination of services teams, or COST teams, at each site. And those COST teams are made up of our clinicians, but also school administrators, teachers, counselors. It's a multidiscipline. Sometimes we call it a multidiscipline team. And what we're trying to suggest to schools is don't send referrals to the clinicians. Send referrals to this coordination of services team. And to some respect, it should be similar. All adults in schools are mandated reporters. And the law is that you don't have to have evidence of child abuse or maltreatment. You have to have a suspicion of child abuse or maltreatment to make a referral to Child Protective Services. We want to kind of further that analogy a little bit to say that you don't need to know that a child is suffering from mental illness. You need to have a suspicion that something is going on that needs a little extra support. And when you have that suspicion, make the referral to COST. Make the referral to this team that can then devote time and resources to investigating, to engaging with the young person, to engaging with the family, and to discovering what's going on and how we can develop an intervention, which may be mental health, right? It might be therapy, but it might be some other type of intervention that somebody else in the school or community can develop. And so we have to understand that student behavior is the way that we interpret student behavior often determines how we proceed. And so we have to recognize that student behavior is indicative of something else. Student behavior is not the problem. We have to interpret that behavior as a way to how do we then find out what the problem is that then we can address.
Superintendent Gordon, I want to bring you back in because we're talking about prevention rather than being reactive, essentially. Did Sac County model this after other school districts? Does this exist anywhere else?
We did have a visit a couple of years ago to Fresno County, and they were piloting this with a different funding model, which might or might not be sustainable. So we went for what we thought was the most sustainable model because, again, the biggest issue for the school people is doing something that can be sustained so that everybody understands that this is serious, this is long-term, and this is a commitment to our young people and our families. The other thing that we're really, really committed to is amplifying the voice of young people, as Dr. Williams mentioned, in fashioning these strategies. That's very, very important. And I give a big shout out again to the county, which has created a youth mental health board, which reports directly to the Board of Supervisors. I don't think that's been done anywhere else in California. And I think that holds great promise for us. So that's a big priority. The other big priority going forward from here is to move these interventions down into the 0 to 5 space. In other words, these traumas that affect young people, they don't start when the child turns 5. Many of them start much earlier. So we need to find a way to reach out to our preschools, our childcare facilities, and families throughout the community.
That was my conversation with Dave Gordon, the Sacramento County Superintendent of Schools, and Dr. Christopher Williams, who's the Director of School-Based Mental Health and Wellness, about the groundbreaking initiative to place a mental health clinician at every school in the county, creating centers of wellness for their local communities. Our conversation first aired in January. Up next, we'll listen and learn from Sacramento County's inaugural Youth Advisory Board about what's missing in behavioral and mental health support on campuses. You're listening to a special edition of Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.